Welcome to the Cadet Architects podcast show, where we highlight the great teaching and learning that happens at Mill Creek Community Schools in West Central Indiana. All right, welcome to the next episode of the Cadet Architects podcast show. My name is Matt Miller. I'm a district e-coach, innovative learning specialist slash, I don't know, do whatever I can to help teachers and students have awesome learning experiences in the classroom. Our next guest today, which I'm totally pumped for, is Miss Ada Stuckey, and I am excited to get to talk to her today. So, Ada, since you're here, and you know you're probably wearing high heel shoes, I was hoping you would be. I don't know if you are or not, but that's funny, and we'll talk about that later. And so, Ada, introduce yourself to all of our like 800 million listeners that listen.
Well, yes, hello, fans of the Matt Miller podcast show. This is exciting. I am an honored guest, feeling very honored right now. And to answer that question, unfortunately, because we are not in person, I do not have my heels on. I'm sorry to disappoint, but again, that's for a later time. So yes, I am Ada Stuckey, and I teach sixth grade math, advanced sixth grade math, and an elective called Money and Me. I've been teaching for, if you combine all of my years, it would be about 9 years total. I am also leading a Girls Who Code club, which is, this is our first year having that, and it's been very exciting. And some, let's, like a random fact, I've been trying to think about this for a very long time. I think my random fact would be, if I were given another chance to do over like career life, I think I would join like the FBI, or I would be like on Criminal Minds, or yeah, like I just see myself as being one of those in charge, I'm going to figure this crime out kind of woman chasing people down. But then that means you have to run. And that's a problem for me.
Okay. Okay. So would it be like real FBI, or would it be like TV FBI?
No, like full blown CSI carrying the gun. I dare you to come challenge me.
Oh my goodness. I feel like threatened. Mm-hmm. this could be like an offshoot of this. This could be like a second career for you, or third career, or whatever.
If I weren't so old, like seriously.
Old?
Yeah, I really am a dinosaur. Yeah, ask any of my students and they'll tell you I'm a dinosaur.
This is interesting. Like I'm picturing you like, you know, coming around a corner. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, with like walking in your high heels, just like,
yeah, absolutely.
Coming to solve some. Yeah.
And the heels would be on for sure.
So turning this into like in the classroom, how much FBI skills do you use in the classroom, as in like trying to figure out like what happened?
Oh, I am super stealthy, sneaky at investigating these kiddos and their fun stories.
It's almost like training for it.
It really is. It really is, because you get some, even now we've had some wonderful, bizarre stories about why students can't get their work done.
Oh, like, that's
my
true.
Favorite is that papers were passed out and they didn't receive them.
Oh, papers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're recording this about 3 weeks into the COVID-19 crisis stuff. So we're going to talk about stuff prior to right now, and then maybe like how things are going, just to update the listeners whenever they listen to this. So the paper passing out during online learning is interesting.
Yeah. As I assured a parent that I have not been driving around to houses passing out papers, nor have I mailed home worksheets.
Oh.
And that's quite possibly a non-truth from their child.
Hey, they're trying everything. You know, you gotta throw everything at them, you know? All right. Moving on a little bit. How about you tell us about some of the stuff that happens in, I guess going backwards. What was happening in your math class before craziness set in? And kind of how you teach and what are some interesting things about your classroom possibly?
Sure. So I want my kids when we all have things as teachers that like phrases that just kind of get under our skin. And being a math teacher, one of the phrases that gets under my skin is let's say maybe two phrases. I'm not a math person, or math doesn't come easy to me. I don't get it. And those statements, what I try to teach my kids, my students, is those statements are I quit statements, and I'm not going to try. And when we say those things, I love studying the brain too. Like that's been an ongoing pursuit for years and years and years. The brain is a very interesting thing, and we can train our brain to believe whatever we want it to believe. When we have a thought, the thought stays in our head, and we can toss that thought around. But the minute we vocalize that thought into, I'm not a math person, your brain has heard that. It sets a little neuro pathway that says, anytime I see a math problem, oh, remember, you're not a math person. So there's no sense trying that. And I want my kids to know that everybody, if you are a person, you are a math person. Like, you may not be a rock star, you're not going quite possibly get into MIT, but if everybody went to MIT, then we would be missing our people who have a skilled trade. Like, who's going to do our carpentry work if everybody goes to MIT? Like, not everybody. Who's going to be our healthcare people? So everybody is different and unique, but everybody is capable of learning. And that's what I tell them. When you come up to me with a question, or you raise your hand and ask a question, your question cannot be, I don't get it. I don't get number five. I'm like, no, that's a statement. Can you turn that into a question for me? And I know they get frustrated and tired of hearing that, but that's where we begin, saying, hey, you are capable of learning. We just have to see what your learning style is, and you have to put in some effort. And there's not one method that's a right method. So the I love the everyday math at the elementary level to help the students see different ways of doing math. But if that method and that way does not work for that student, then we've got to find a different way to help them learn. And that's my job at sixth grade, is to help them see, okay, if this didn't work from you, let's try this. And we move from there. So it's really more of training their brains. So we do a lot, but it's a lot of old school math, because again, I am a dinosaur. So yes, we carry the one. Like, I saw this meme on like every friend's Facebook page, and I'm like, yeah, I carry the one in my class, so my parents should not be struggling with that. And because I am probably a lot older than a lot of their parents, it's old school math. We go there.
I think it's really interesting how you make them ask a question instead of a statement. I think that's cool, because it gets them in the right mindset to, okay, this is a statement that I'm making that is, you know, I can't do number five or whatever it was. But to say like, okay, I need help with number five, or I don't understand this specific thing about number five. I think that really helps them to, you know, as their brains are developing, and mm-hmm. just to say like, hey, you're not going to know everything, but if you phrase it in a question or phrase it in a way that makes you want to keep going and go deeper, I think that's awesome. So kudos to you for
that. Thank you, sir.
All right. So you were in the classroom for mm-hmm. a handful of years. And then you left to kind of start a family and do all that stuff. And then you kind of returned. So and you kind of hinted on a little bit of carrying the one, but what are some differences that you have seen from teaching before and then teaching now? I guess not necessarily now, like COVID-19, because we know that that's changed everything. But I guess like before this happened, what were some of the differences that you saw?
So, I have like two worlds of extremes. When I taught before, it was high school. I did not have children of my own. I was fresh out of college, and my perspective on life was very different. Just from the standpoint that what existed in my world and my life was, I taught in a more affluent high school or a more affluent school system. So the resources were different. I had more resources. I had a lot more collaborative sharing within my department. And that was my world, like church, school, like work, and home. But home was just me and my husband. I didn't have anything else going on at home. So moving to present day, now I'm at a middle school where, like, wow, it's just very different from high school. Very different. So I'm at middle school with an age level that they're trying to decide, like, I still want to be mothered, but I want to be on my own. So sixth grade is kind of that weird age where they're still kind of elementary-ish, but they're excited to grow up. And so it's just, there's a lot going on there. And so I have that, but now I have children of my own. So when I come home, I've got my family dynamics look a lot different and what the expectations are at home. So my perspective on life has changed quite a bit. And then you throw in like light years of technology changes. Like that alone could have almost sent me to my grave last year.
So I can't remember if it was last year, but we shared rooms, but we were right next to each other.
Yes.
Our rooms were. And so I was really excited to get to teach with you. And then I took this job. And so
left.
I know.
You left me. Everybody left me.
I'm so sorry. I can imagine that would be crazy. Even even 4 years ago, things have changed so much. I mean, yeah. So I can only imagine that jump from 10 years or whatever it was in between your stints 12. There. 12 years.
12 years. 12 years of technology. That's like, yeah, if it's changing like every 3 years, we're talking like four levels up. It was intense. I walked in with Kale. I remember he showed me my classroom and I walked in. I said, okay. And he's showing me like, here's your computer. Here's the screen. Here's your projector. I'm like, wow, that's a really cool like TV. I don't have a TV in here. I've got like a projector with a screen. This is great. I said, okay, where's my overhead projector? And he just kind of looked at me like, what? And I said, where's my overhead projector? And he started laughing at me and he said, I'm sure we could find one somewhere. I'm like, how am I going to teach? Like, what do I do?
So we, you know, introduced you to document cameras and
yes, everything else. You did. The technology team and you, before you were a part of the technology team, were fantastic. Like, here, do this. Try this. And if you push this button, your computer goes up on the screen. Like, what?
It's like, you know, mind-blowing stuff.
I know. It's like, that's enough for today. You got to stop.
Oh, that's good. But it's been cool because you've tried a bunch of stuff this year. And we'll talk about a little bit of that in a minute. Money and Me class. So kind of switching a little bit. So sixth grade and seventh grade teachers basically teach an elective class for the most part. Well, until craziness happened, but whatever. So your class is Money and Me. Why don't you talk about a little bit about that and what you do in there?
I was so excited when Kale and Zach presented the opportunity for us to teach an elective, when they shot down my top 10 ideas. Like, I really felt like I could teach a class on favorite vacation spots, nap time 101. Like, I had a top 10 and they said no to all of them. I'm like, okay, well then I would like to teach about money. What you got? And they thought that would be good. I think our kids, what I saw, and this really came about with my own children. I mean, my husband's a financial planner. I'm a math person And I handle all of our personal finances because Jason's just done by the end of the day. He doesn't want to do it. So if our checkbook's going to be balanced, I need to be the one doing it. So anyway, I saw with our own children, we'd go grocery shopping and I'd use our debit card to pay. And somehow in their head, they think money like magically appears on this little tiny card and we can just buy whatever we want whenever we want. And I thought about like within my world, if my children are thinking that, I wonder what everybody else's children are thinking. And maybe we should have some type of concept of where money came from, how we got to where we are today, and where we're going in the future. And so that's kind of been the premise of this class. And we start back at like caveman times when it was like bartering and trading. And we do some simulations with that. It's supposed to be a very relaxing class, but they definitely, like, they have assignments and tasks that they have to complete so that it's not just a goof off class and that they are actually learning. They go online and they compare and contrast different banks and the different bank accounts that are offered at those banks. I had one parent report to me, her child got a little behind and she was helping her child finish the banking comparison assignment. And her child was, you know, complaining, this is hard, this is hard. And she said, the mom told her, this is real life. Like, this is what adults should be doing to see what bank to go to. And she was like, really? She goes, yes. Like, you need to know these things. So that was encouraging and fun to hear.
That's cool.
It's been a good class. We play with fake money. I did I'm losing what the company is, but I did a similar to a GoFundMe, but where you set out like, hey, these are the supplies I would like to start this class, and I got it fully funded, so I have money that looks like real money. If it weren't for a little Chinese stamp on it, the look and feel is real. And so one like lab that we do, I bring in real $1 bills and I give them like a real $1 bill and a fake $1 bill. And they go through and notice all the differences. We use a counterfeit pen. You can't use a counterfeit pen on, I'm not going to make that statement because I don't know that there's truth to that quite yet. But I also bring in we put them into groups of like five, and I bring in enough real $100 bills for them to use a counterfeit pen on and to see the ribbon. $1 bills don't have the ribbon, so they can use a black light on that, and they can see how to notice the difference between a real and a fake $100 bill. That's always a very interesting experience as well.
That's fun. That's, you know, that's like FBI stuff there too.
We spend a lot of time on counterfeiting. We check out, there's a movie called Mr. 880 that we do end up watching because it's really cool. It's super old movie, but it's based on a true story about a case file within the FBI called it was case file 880, and it went on it was like the longest running case file they had, where this old man was counterfeiting $1 bills. And it's a really cool story about how they caught him. And then we have, after we watch the movie, then we have like a little discussion on social ethics. And this was the sentence that he received. It was like 4 years in prison, but he was paroled early, and his monetary fine, he had to pay like one real $1 bill. And so when you hear his background story and why he did it and how he did it, then it does bring up questions like, well, I mean, maybe you should let him off and be a little easy on him. So it's really cool, the discussions that come out of it.
That's because, you know, kids are always interested in that. Like,
yeah, they are. Stuff.
I watched something one time where I think it was like a casino. They were making casino coins or something. Somebody was. And like they were so good that they're still in circulation. Like they haven't found them all. I don't remember what this was, but
whoa.
I know. I was just like, that's amazing. Like, not that I, not that I'm a counterfeiter.
Let's go on the record here.
But like to the detail that you would have had to put into that would have been crazy.
No kidding.
And I know kids would always eat that up. So
they do. They do.
And I know you also this year you did Global Read Aloud with Miss Heron and a couple other stuff or a couple other people, I think. Or was that just you two?
It was just us two this year. Yeah, that was really a neat experience. She had brought it up. She sends me websites and ideas all the time. And we joke and say we have a running to-do list of things she's going to teach me and then things we're going to actually do. And when this popped up and I saw the book, I kind of read through the synopsis of the book and I said, Helen, I think this would be a great thing for us to do together. Like, our activities will be different because I will be focused on the economic and the financial side of this. But this would be a great, like, eye-opener for our kiddos. And that is something I will definitely do every year. I wish, and we'll see, maybe we'll be able to do it as a whole school. But it, we just had a great, we had a ball with it and our kids loved it. They loved it. My kids, the book that we read was called A Bridge Home. And when it came to the, there were like two parts, that I told my students, I gave them fair warning. I said, listen, this made me cry, this part, when I read it. As I read it to you, I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to cry. So if you want to grab a tissue before you come back from lunch, grab a tissue. And we did. It was like, this is, I got choked up on that. And then the ending was just so sweet that I cried anyway. Like, it was good. But the kids, we had some cool activities. It gave them a multicultural experience. It showed them how some children live in other countries. It kind of helped them to appreciate what they have.
Yeah. And so Miss Heron teaches sixth grade social studies. So she kind of had the social cultural aspect of that in her class as well. And I know that you use some technology stuff with that. How did you connect with other people around the world?
So Global Read Aloud, as an organization, had put out all kinds of resources through Flipgrid and you came and helped us tutor this. What was it? It was
Padlet, maybe.
Padlet, that's okay. It. And so each week there was a new prompt. And so we would just ask our students, we did this in our elective class. So she, Ms. Heron teaches global citizenship. And we had you come in and show the kiddos how to use both Padlet and Flipgrid. And then we would present the questions to them each week. And they could go into either one and read or watch the videos from other students in other parts of the country and the world. And then they could respond as well, like with their own answers. We also created our own postcards. So we went old school and they had like a little piece of cardstock and they designed their own postcard. They were given some parameters. Then they had to write a note on the back. And we had a Google sheet with people from all over the United States. And then I think we had like around 10 that were out of the country going to different countries. And so when the students would bring their postcard up to me, I would write the address on it and we'd mail it out. And then we received postcards as well, which was really cool.
That's cool. And that's, I mean, there's, so you're basically taking your classroom outside. So what of just your walls? So how, what are the benefits of that for students, for teachers, for anyone?
When you go outside, it helps to open up their world. So it is so easy, even as adults, when we live in a rural community, which I grew up in that, and I love that. That's one of the reasons we chose to come live here, because we like the aspects of a smaller community. Sometimes when you're a part of that, that's your world, and your global perspective is lost. And I want, by reaching out to even other schools, even within the state, it helps the kids to see, oh, life isn't like this for everybody. But when you open it up outside of your state and then go outside of the country, that's huge for these kids. It just puts in another plug that just because your life looks like this here doesn't mean that's the way it is everywhere.
That's true. Giving them just a different perspective and a little empathy to share and to gain knowledge from the other places in the state. That's amazing too, because there's so much difference, whether you're living in a city or a rural area or whatever. That's got to mean something to them, and maybe not now, but maybe later on.
It's fun to see what they remember. And I know, and I'm kind of anxious to play around with this and maybe incorporate this next year, but Miss Heron uses Pen Pals. It's like a website that has different lessons, and you can connect with students from all over the world on that as well. And she's had some great success with that. So I'm kind of anxious to see how I might be able to incorporate that into my lessons next year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was doing that.
Is really cool.
Amazing.
I know.
Cool.
Shout out to her.
Other things you're doing this year, and I'm not sure if it continued, but you were doing Fish in a Tree. You're reading Fish in a Tree as a whole school read, if I remember right.
Yeah. Which started off really well. But then this, so we kind of took the global read aloud model and said, how could we do this for the whole school? And so we sent out, a permission slip that said, hey, this is what — it wasn't really a permission slip, it was more like an order form. It said, hey, we would like to, and this was through the public relations committee at Cascade Middle School. So we're broken into different committees. And this
was — committees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this was an idea that we came up with to try to help connect all grade levels and all students, that we would read this book collectively and do some different fun activities and give out some prizes and see where it goes. And I think we made it through like 3 weeks of the book, which made it to like chapter 21 out of, I think, 48 or 50. So we made about halfway through the book, and then this happened. But it was going well, I think. There were some definite struggles, but every child was given a book. We had a couple of anonymous parents that called in and said, hey, I want to cover any child that is not able to purchase this book because we love it so much and think every child should be reading this book. And so that was really neat. We were even able to purchase like a classroom set to use next year for like the language arts department or anybody that wants to read it as a class. So it's kind of cool.
Awesome. That's awesome. And it's so cool to see parents help out that in that way. And just the community here is so amazing. So
yeah, it was great.
That's so you basically took the global read aloud and then made it a school read aloud.
Yeah.
That's
cool. Which was fun.
All right. Shifting a little bit to today's — is it home learning? Is it online learning? Is it virtual learning? Is it distance learning? Is it whatever? All I know is that it's like a triage of this is what we're doing to help kids learn. So what are some thoughts on that? Like, what's working for you right now? What's not working? What? I know it's like a loaded question.
It is. Wow. Okay. So let's go with the positive first. What has been fun? We were told in one staff meeting, like virtual staff meeting, that I think we were told somebody said at some point — let's go with that because everything's running together — somebody made the statement that this is the time as a teacher that you get to do all those projects or all those things you wanted to do, but you weren't able to incorporate it. And I thought, well, now that's very interesting. So if we were in the classroom on a daily basis, I would be, right now we would be in the thick of our geometry unit, and I would be lecturing pretty much daily on perimeter and area. And I'd be lecturing on that. They'd have some homework assignments. We would have a project that would go with that. Hang on. This is so random, and I hope that you can. This is home learning at its best. I think Miles is emptying the dishwasher, but the dishes are dirty. And so I just kind of want. Oh, yeah, they are. Hey, buddy. Buddy, Miles, those dishes are dirty. It's okay. I'll fix it, but thank you for your help. Okay, so
this is so real life. It's
this is real life. I'm still in the middle. I know. I'll take care of it later. I'll take care of all of that. It's okay. I'm sorry. You go play. It was on his list, but okay. Sorry. Okay, back to this.
This is true. Like, this is about as real life as you can get right now. You know,
this is what home learning day is like. And my students are, I'm sure they are laughing at me when random things like this come up. It's like, wait a second. I need to fix this problem real quick. Okay, so back to, but I can't lecture every day. That's way too overwhelming. I am not going to expect my students to just watch, which I love Khan Academy. We did that the first week. But there's no, like, I don't know. There's no fun in that. It's just watch a video, do some problems. There's no fun interaction. There's no, I don't know. They have so much stressful stuff potentially going on in their homes and in their world right now that I'm trying to come up with how can we learn area and perimeter and make it fun. So they've had a project for the past, it'll finish this week, last week, and this is their geometry unit. They had to design a tiny house. So they went, which is so much fun. But I gave them parameters. Like, you can't spend any more than $20,000. So they have a budget. They have to go and find supplies and give me a detailed list of their budget. Can't spend more than $20,000. Your tiny house can't be any larger than 240 square feet. So, you know, we had a lot of questions. Can I have a porch on it? Sure. But your area cannot be larger than 240 square feet. And it can't be taller than 15 feet. So yes, you can have two or three stories, but you can't go higher than 15 feet. So they investigated and did like all the research last week. It's your turn. They did the research last week. And then this week they're using two different websites. One website, it's called Lucid Charts. And they go in and actually make like a blueprint of their tiny house. But they can put in, and it's a scale drawing. So we're getting the scale drawing in there where I told them, I said, really, the only way you can lose points on this is if you do not meet the criteria. So if you go over 240 square feet, you lose a point. So they were excited. And when I showed them the website, I'm like, you can be as creative as you want. And you can actually put furniture in. So see if everything you want will fit within your tiny house. And what are your measurements going to be in order to get what you want in that tiny house? And then for extra credit, they can go into another website called 5D Planner, and they can turn it into a 3D model, which
that's cool.
Super cool. Man. So very excited. We'll see what they do with it.
I love how you said, you know, like, here's the requirements. All you have to do is hit those. You know, you're not making it crazy specific. You're leaving it up to a lot of their personalities to shine through. You know, whether you want a pink fuzzy chair or a rocking chair, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, that's cool. And the height is cool. Man, that would be so fun if I was a kid.
It is.
I would love to do that.
When I was talking with, again, I was checking in with Miss Heron this morning, and I told her, I said, I think I want to continue this definitely next year, if, you know, providing we're in the classroom and things are going okay. I would like to do this. And then I said, I wonder if, like, the ones that create, like, let's say we vote and these five people have the best design, I wonder if we could use the 3D printer to actually print. I know.
Let me go.
Like, that would be so cool to put on display and be like, hey, here's a scale model of the tiny house that I created.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So cool. We'll see.
That's cool. That's awesome. Oh, that's in awesome. My head. So that's cool how you've altered some things. You know, you were going to do this, you changed to this, and kind of more open-ended type stuff. How do you think any of this will kind of change you going forward? Like, if it ever goes back to what we would consider normal or whatnot?
Well, I've definitely learned a lot more new technologies and ways of accessing my kids. And these are just thoughts that, you know, there's positives and there's negatives. I love using Canvas conferencing. And if we're able to keep that, I can see where that would be really helpful to have, like, math help sessions of an evening or early in the morning or something, like, where I can work with a kiddo, even if they're not in the building. But I also have to be careful because I do try to work hard to protect my family time and make sure I'm not, like, not paying attention to them. So,
right. Finding that balance would still be,
yeah,
like, you've already given, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours of the day to the school, to the students. And then, you know, you still want your family time as well, but it is nice to say, like, hey, you know, what if there's that student that has been out of school for 7, 8 days with being sick and they need to get caught up or whatever,
right?
Maybe your prep time or something. But that's cool that you're using Canvas conferences to do that. And I know a lot of people in our district are using Google Meet to do that as well.
For math, I really struggled with Google Meet. I could not, with the resources I have at home, I could not figure out how to, like, open up a PDF and write on it so that the students could see, okay, here is my homework assignment, and here's Mrs. Stuckey writing out step by step how to do this. I can do that in Canvas conferencing. Google Meet, the capability is possibly there. I just haven't figured it out yet.
Cool.
So anyway.
That's awesome. I love that you're trying new things, because that's kind of what it's all about right now, is, hey, what'll work for this? What'll work? You know, maybe that won't even work today. We got to change to do something else. So
right.
I'm just being flexible. Kind of wrapping up here a little bit. This is kind of interesting. You've kind of taught, he hasn't been in your class, but you've taught your son in the same school. And that isn't it doesn't always happen. So what are some challenges to that? Or can you help any other parents that are also teachers out there that would maybe some advice to give them?
Yeah, it's something. So when Jason and I first talked about, you know, we went around and around with whether to take this position or not. We had that discussion about Max, like, and when you keep, like, in a perspective that I teach math. And so typically when somebody says, oh, what do you do? And I generally will start, oh, I'm a teacher. Like, oh, what do you teach? And it's like, oh, why'd you ask? Because the response is always the same. I say, well, I teach math. And they're like, ew. And then they'll say, what grade level? And it really doesn't matter if you say high school or middle school. They're like, ugh. I mean, it's always like, well, thank you for that encouragement. I appreciate it. So it's just a negative outlook from the beginning. And so we were really concerned, like, how's Max going to respond to this? Just because he's the child that was entering with me. So if it had been Miles, we would have said, what's Miles going to be like? How's this going to look for him? Which would be totally different. But Max, we just weren't sure. And he was, like, overwhelmingly excited, super excited. when we told him initially. And then I remember it was like a couple days before school started, we were coming home from somewhere and it was really quiet. And he said, "Mom, when you used to teach, did they like you?" And I thought, oh, here it is. I just kind of sat there. I'm like, I'm not sure how to answer this. I teach math. Like, I don't know. I don't have a fair assessment of who likes me and who doesn't. And so Jason spoke up and answered his question right away. And I asked him, and he seemed content. And I asked him, I said, are you nervous about this? He said, no. And we went on. And I was like, okay. And we knew at that point that I would not have him. When I first signed on, we did not know. I was kind of fighting against him being placed in any like other math class than the regular math, sixth grade math. But things just worked out that it just didn't work out that way. So anyway, but it was interesting last year, first semester, anytime he had a math question, he was going to Jason for every math question. And I'm like, hey, more power to you. I answer questions all day. Have fun with it. Yeah.
You didn't have to do it, right?
And then there was something, and he asked Jason something. Jason said, well, go ask mom. And he was like, what? Why? And Jason goes, you do know that your mom was a math major. Like, and he goes, oh, really? And now he won't ask Jason a thing. He's like, well, I need mom's help. I'm like, okay. Well, there we are. What I've seen, I'm very cautious and have to be careful. You've got to be careful what you talk about at home. So I'm very cautious in making sure that if I need to talk about something school related, that the boys aren't anywhere near. It's just me and Jason. Because I can't have him repeating anything. I can't have him forming an opinion on things that he has no need of forming an opinion on. So he had said that he wished he had signed up for the Money and Me class, but I think that's because he had a couple of friends in that class, not because he wanted me as a teacher. But it's interesting. Like, he'll come home and he'll make comments about how this student said, boy, your mom was real grumpy today. And it doesn't seem to faze him that much. Like, he seems unfazed, but the comments happen. I work really hard to make sure I'm not trying to get any kind of special treatment for him. So, like, if a situation comes up that, no, you handle this like you would handle any other student. Like, just because I teach in the building with him doesn't mean he gets any special treatment. But yeah, I would struggle. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Like, while I didn't have Max, it's probably a reality if I am still here that Miles would be and Jason would be in my class. And Jason and I have had that conversation. I don't know that that would be a good thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know how parents handle that.
Right.
How do you make that separation from I'm your teacher at school to I'm your mom at home? And how do you keep, like, there would be, I don't know. I would be tougher. There was one time last year, we had a convocation and I was walking up the stairs and I looked over and there were some students that had their phones out and I took their phones from them. Because they weren't supposed to have it out. And then I look to my left and there's Max with his friends and Max has his phone. And so I motioned for him to give me his phone. He was like, okay, mom, I'll put it away. And I said, no, you need to give me your phone. And he, like, we had a little stare down and he was like, I'm not giving it to you. I'm putting it away. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be giving him a detention. Like, give me your phone. And so he handed me his phone and I gave it back after the convocation. I talked, you know, as I handed it back to each student, including my son, I said, we were not to have phones out during the convocation. The next time you'll pick it up in the office. And so they took it, you know, they're all mad at me as they walk out. But we get in the car and Max made some snarky comment like, you embarrassed me in front of your kids, in front of my friends. And so then we had a little discussion. And I said, and I told him, I said, listen, your friends are watching you and they're watching me to see if I'm going to give you special treatment. And so you can expect I will come down harder on you to show that I am not giving preferential treatment. This is the rule. You broke the rule. Right. Don't challenge me again.
I can see, you know, you're talking about balancing the different hats within one moment, you know, the mom mm-hmm. hat, and when you, but they would have to balance that as well. You know, the mom hat and yeah. or you're my mom and my teacher, or, you know, you work in the building. That would be hard on them as well.
Yeah.
So I guess it'd be the same as, you know, coaching yeah. your son or daughter, you know? So there, well, yeah. Interesting. Thanks for the advice.
I'm sure someone would. I don't know, but it's
hard. It'd have to be hard.
It's interesting for sure. It's interesting.
All right. We talked about this earlier. High heels. How do you do it?
I love my heels. I had an unfortunate incident at the beginning of this year in January. I threw my back out wearing a pair of heels that I wore, like I wear them all the time, but I know it's awful, but we were at my grandma's funeral and it was like an all day event. And I thought for sure I'd be sitting, but I was standing all day, which again, I do that when I teach, shouldn't have been, but I guess when you're walking around, like when we went to the graveside, it was muddy. And so I must've like tweaked something and I had to go on a break from my heels for a while, but this quarantine, I have replenished my stock in heels and I'm ready to return. Uh-huh. I love it. My shoes are very comfortable and I do like my heels for two reasons. They're fun and, well, they're cute. Let's start with that. And then also they make me taller than my students.
Oh, yeah, that's sexy. Yeah, that's good. I've never wore heels, so I wouldn't. Okay. I don't know that.
I don't know what it feels like. Start, but.
All right. One last question. One piece of advice and I ask this to everyone at the end, one piece of advice you would give to other teachers wanting to try something new.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when you think about, should I ask this question? You know, like if you're asking for permission for something, Your answer, if you're asking for permission for something, your answer is no right now because you haven't asked it. So even if you get a no response, that's the same answer that you had before you asked your questions. Go ahead and ask it and see, you know, how things play out. It would be the same thing with trying something new. Like, give it a try. Like, if you don't succeed, well, you didn't succeed if you never tried it. But you try it, and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, then say, okay, like learn from that and say, okay, like I tried Google Meet. I did a mock Google Meet for me with Max to see if I could get things working, and it wasn't working for me. And I thought, you know what? This is not something I'm going to fight through when I know I can do it in Canvas. So when I live lecture, I'll live lecture in Canvas, and when I need to, just meet socially with my kids, then we'll do a Google Hangout. So try it. Like, you really have nothing to lose.
Just try it. That's awesome. I know that there's been a lot of trying in this last 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it's been. So that's good. And, you know, just to try something really opens up a lot of stuff. And because even if you don't use it, or you also, now you have that, little knowledge of it.
Yes.
That maybe later on you'd be like, hey, that didn't work for this thing, but it might work for that. So, or that thing, this thing, whatever. all right. Any way that other people who listen, you know, the 8 million people listen to this podcast can get a hold of you or ask you questions. I think you're on Twitter, if I remember right.
I am on Twitter. I'm Jason and I, we do a shared, because I think I signed up like, you know, long dinosaur ages ago. And so it's Jason and I together in Facebook. And then you can always email like through the school email. And Then through Google Voice, I now have a phone number. I don't know it though. I don't know how to find my phone number. Hang on, I have to go to my email because I put it in that.
So if you are one of the people that want to ever just call up Ada here, you can just call her up at her random number.
Yeah, my random number is 317-563-1387. It's my random number.
There you go. You're just giving it out like crazy. Yeah. And then I know Twitter is Ask Stucky Math, which is AskStucky Math. Yes. So if you want to reach out to her that way, you could do that as well. Any other last things before we jump off here?
I don't think so. It was really fun chatting with you.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining. And hopefully see you soon in person. You know, this is kind of crazy.
I know. Yeah, tis the season.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. Feel free to like, share, subscribe for your imaginary bonus points. Thanks a lot.